You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
All right, folks, it is 2:45, and that usually means, at least until Christmas, that it is time for our Droogle guest. After seven seasons as host of Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show, I announced to my listeners that I am no longer convinced there's a God. And boy, the corporate gasp was pretty astounding. As far as I know, this would be the first time a host on a Christian station has openly admitted to a crisis of faith and kept their job. So I made the decision to go about this this crisis publicly. As I've been learning, actually, I tweeted the other day, I took a picture of something kind of gross from our cottage, and I said, Mother Teresa was kind of smart when she kept her mouth shut about her dark night of the soul until after she was dead, right? And they read her diaries or whatever, because this is kind of what it feels like. And it was I found a mouse trap that had gone off in our cottage, and only the head was trapped in the, his body is gone.
Wow.
That would be a probably good description of how it's been so far. So from now until Christmas, our Christmas show, December 18th, I'm going to talk to a variety of prominent people during the show each week and ask them why they believe in God and if they've ever had a legitimate personal encounter with him. Yes, it's kind of condescending that I would put the word legitimate in there. But boy, what I'm coming to the conclusion of, too, is, what word do I finish that with? What the conclusion? the conclusion I'm coming to is that we give credit to God because we choose to give credit to God. Because if you were an objective outsider, you would look at many people's personal encounters with God and go, really? Wow, that was it? So, but, you know, you're going to sound rude and condescending. You don't say that to many people publicly. You don't sort of, after they share their most intimate God moment, go, really? It's not the best way to respond. Today on the show, he's a good friend and a smart guy. He's a very connected dude. He's my go-to guy when I want weird guests or guests that don't fit the normal sort of Huntley regime.
Maybe,
that's what I'm trying to say.
Said, like, weird topics that guests can talk.
No. Weird guests. He gives me all the best. But this guy, he's the author of Nelson's Illustrated Guide to Religions. This book is like an encyclopedia. It is the most detailed book of religions out there. Dr. James Beverly, his website, jimbeverly.com. There's three E's in Beverly. Figure out where they go, and that'll get you to his website, jimbeverly.com. James, Dr. James Beverly, how are you today, young fella?
Drew, it's a good thing I'm not on drugs, or listening to you would put me over the top.
Thank you. Can I quote you on that? Is that like an endorsement for the show right there?
It's just amazing how energetic you are and how you, in about 2 minutes, you say more of like one-liners that are great than anybody I know.
Oh, this is getting better.
I think we should use that for one of our bumpers. Just
yes,
that statement.
It is.
Drew, who's with you in the office there?
I don't know. Some hobo I found on the street.
Does he have a name?
Yes, his name is Tim. That's all we don't want anybody else to know anything more about him. We just call him Tim. Okay. We call him Tourette's Tim.
Tourette's Tim. Some call me Tim.
So listen, Jim.
Yep.
You know the questions I'm going to ask you, right? And then I need you to maybe push back a little bit with me and ask me how things are going with me. So let's start with you, all right?
Yep.
Obviously, you believe in God.
Yep.
Why?
My mother told me about God, and my father did, so that's one reason. And Alvin Plantinga, one of the smartest people who's ever lived, said, since most of what you know was taught by your parents, it's rational to believe in something because they told you to believe it. So that's one reason.
Yeah, but come on. Really?
Hold it. I understand the point. Mothers teach babies different things,
yes.
So therefore that doesn't prove anything,
Thank you.
Okay, well, my background shaped me, and then, for over 30 years I've studied this topic, and I think the arguments for God are better than the arguments against God.
Okay.
I think God is the best explanation for the cause of the universe. He's the best explanation for the design of the universe. And these are staggering realities. In fact, you should get the new book called Signature in the Cell, which gives a 600-page defense of the existence of God just from the incredible design in the cells of our bodies, in the DNA.
So when it comes to what I call the brilliant evidence, I don't have a sharp mind. I'm a high school dropout with the attention span of a thumbtack. And I know that there are a wide variety of very smart people out there who argue for and against there being a creator. And these arguments have gone on for years. And I know that if I read a Christian's book giving evidence that there is design and there is a creator, that they will make some points and I will go, wow, that's great. But I am also smart enough to know that there are smart guys on the other side who can debunk those facts. So what do I do?
I think on the design argument that the atheists are basically a little crazy.
Right.
When you read about the design of the, say, the body, the DNA, when you read about how our body produces hemoglobin, when you read about the optic nerve, what goes on there, it's so staggering that to say it just happened by chance through blind evolutionary process, I think is bizarre.
Okay, all right.
So I don't think, you know, in anything that humans believe, there's almost always smart people on either side.
Right.
With some exceptions. There's some group, religious groups, for example, that have no intellectuals at all.
Okay. Would you like to share which groups those are?
Well, I'll give you an example. Scientology has no academic department. They don't have people who are earning PhDs to defend Scientology.
Right.
So there's one example.
Okay.
Jehovah's Witnesses, maybe in the last 20 years, have had one or two intellectuals. The only one I know about just left them for the second time.
Wow.
So
that's a double dump.
Yeah. So... So, you know, on whether God exists or not, there are smart people on both sides. But I think the evidence from design is astounding. That's what led Anthony Flew, an atheist for 50-plus years, to change his mind.
All right, on the phone with Dr. James Beverly. He is the Associate Director of the Institute for the Study of American Religion in Santa Barbara, California, and the author of Nelson's Illustrated Guide to Religions. He's a regular here on the Drew Marshall Show. His website is jimbeverly.com, two E's in Beverly. The next question we ask our Droogle guest...
Hey, we should also say I teach at Tyndale in Toronto, right, Drew?
Sure.
Because, you know, people from Toronto are listening. And
yeah.
They know about Tyndale.
And we all know that Christian Bible colleges want free advertising. So, here's the deal. Have you ever encountered a God? A real, legitimate, personal encounter with God, and I promise I won't laugh.
I believe I have encountered God, but not in a way that would make you go, wow. It's more on the level of the kind of testimonies you hear all the time.
Okay. Can you share with us your coolest one? Maybe it's your only one.
Okay. I don't like testimonies about, I got run over by a car, but I felt God's presence.
Okay. And his name is Goodyear? Yes.
So, I guess I got to stick to the truth here.
Okay.
I had spinal surgery in 2004. Then the operation wasn't completely successful. There was infection in the incision. I got a serious infection.
Obviously, you didn't pray for things to go well.
Oh, I did pray for things to go well.
Well, what happened?
Well, first I prayed that I would survive surgery, and I did.
Okay.
The surgery was basically successful because I was facing never walking again. So I'm walking again. But I got an infection on the incision. My kidney shut down, and I lost, and this is a miracle, I lost 40 pounds in a month.
That's a praise the Lord right
there. It's actually almost worth it. The pain and agony of that is almost worth the 40 pounds in a month.
Right.
I think that's easier than a regular diet. Anyway, I had a terrible time, Drew. I was, people thought I was going to die. It was the worst pain. I remember pain so bad, I thought at the time I had to you know, I had to remember it because I couldn't believe how bad it was.
Right.
I begged for morphine. Okay, so that's the setting.
Okay, got it.
Now, in that setting, I felt closer to God than any other time in my life. I didn't enjoy it, but I was never scared. I was ready to die. I watched people die in the hospital, like in the room next to me. A guy died one night, another night they had an emergency team in. So I went through these amazing experiences of pain and suffering and watching people die. And in the midst of it all, I had incredible peace. I don't like pain, so...
Okay, so I remember puking my guts out and thinking I would die and asking God to stop this, and it was just horrible, and I had a fever, and I was delirious, and please, God, and take this away from me, stop it, stop it, and it didn't happen. And then I remember praying for my son, for him to not have a headache anymore and be totally debilitated for 18 days, and this is about day 7, and it just kind of petered out at about 18 days. I don't really consider that an answer to prayer, so I remember being frustrated. And you know as well as I do that the majority of people listening are more frustrated by unanswered prayer. So did you get an answer to prayer?
Well, I'm walking again. There's no more pain. I'm happy. I got to live and see my granddaughter. Hey, there's a moment of unbelievable transcendence. When my daughter gave birth to Dorothy almost 3 years ago, walking down the hall to see her for the first time in a Montreal hospital was an incredible experience of feeling close to God.
Right, right.
But
other people who aren't into the God stuff have had similar stories in the hospital.
Yes, theirs would be going down the hall to see their grandchild being really grateful. Well, you know...
No, even just you and you're sick and your surgery and stuff.
Yeah.
They weren't God people, and they had a similar story. But they didn't pray to God. They just got better.
Oh, well, you asked me when I felt close to God, and I'm giving you the answer. It wasn't to prove that God's existence is proven because I didn't die.
Right, right.
By the way, what I could do here is I think I collect stories from people who have the kind of stories that should make you think.
Okay, give me your best one.
Well, how much time we got? Because then I can talk fast and give two.
Well, I'll tell you, you have 1 minute left, and then maybe we'll go for four.
Okay. okay, I'll give you an example from my son, Derek.
Okay.
3 years ago, going through the worst time in his life, a friend betrayed him. I'm glad to say things worked out a year ago.
Okay.
But anyway, going through the worst time of his life, okay, he goes to Montreal, and he's driving my car, and he's got his bike on the back of the car. He stops on St. Laurent Street, goes into a convenience store, and I remember the setting here. He's depressed because of this turmoil in his life.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out of the store, and his bike is stolen off the back of my car.
Right.
So, he is really depressed. He loves the bike. He's not rich, so losing a $300 bike is no fun.
Yep.
He's already been betrayed by a friend. So he's on his way up St. Laurent, Montreal. And then, now here's the part that happens that's internal. He can't prove it. I can give you his number, and he can be on the show another time and tell it directly. He has an overwhelming sense that God wants him to get his bike back.
Really?
Yep. Now, my son is not a mystic. He doesn't go to heaven every night. He doesn't see angels.
Right.
Believes in God, and he believes God told him that. He didn't hear an audible voice. It was an inner impression. God wants me to have his bike back. Which is an absurd thing to think when your bike is stolen in Montreal.
Right.
He goes to a friend's house in Montreal, and then he says to himself, well, I suppose if I'm going to get the bike back, if God wants me to get the bike back, I better go get it. Now, what would you tell him at that point?
Suck it up, princess. It's over.
That's right. Well, he went back down into the city. I mean, he was in the city. He just went back towards the area where his bike was stolen, which wouldn't seem to be a smart place to find it, because if you rob a bank, you don't stand outside waiting for the police to show up.
Well.
So he goes downtown, and he turns back north again, going up Saint Laurent. And then two things had to happen for him to get his bike back. If you're going to meet somebody who knows where your bike is while you're driving on a street, you got to have a light turn red.
Okay.
Light turns red.
Got it.
Squeegee kid walking towards him.
Yep.
And Derek says in his mind, I don't want to give that guy any money. And then he says to himself, he's having a worse day than me. So Derek puts the window down, and the squeegee kid looks in and says, heard you lost your bike, man.
What?
So Derek says you couldn't believe what he heard, and he says to the guy, what? And the guy says, I heard you lost your bike. So Derek said, you know where it is? And the guy said, yes. He got in the car and took Derek to his bike.
Wow.
Now.
Now, hold on. Has your son ever taken any hallucinogenics?
No, he hates drugs.
Okay.
He lives in a part of the city where people do drugs and drink a lot, and so he's learned.
Maybe it's secondhand drugs he's been having. Yeah. Wow. You know, that's a trippy story, right?
It's a very good one. And you know, see, Drew, this depends on believing me and believing my son. People who are skeptical could say, well, not only is this whole gig made up by you to make money or attention, but you've hired me to tell a story about a son I don't have in order to fool the Christian crowd to make more money for the Drew Marshall Show.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, that's just too much work.
Or it's just possible that...
Too lazy.
That you're not in it for money, you really doubt it, you need a nice story, and I have a nice story, and it's true, and I would bet everything I own times a million that it's true, because I know my son.
Yeah.
And it
But interesting, as weird as that story is, Jim, it still isn't, you know, the catalyst for me to go, okay, there's a God. Why do you think that is?
Because you so desperately want this for yourself. Actually, I tell that story sometimes, and people get upset because they want it to happen to them.
Yeah, yeah. See, someone said to me the other day, I think it was on our Twitter discussion, or maybe I can't remember where it was, but they said, Drew, what's going to happen is at the end of this, you're going to look back and realize that God was with you all along, right? That whole footprints in the sand sentiment,
right.
Stuff. And so I kind of flashed to this story. All right, help me get this through my head. No, it doesn't make sense. Help me pull this apart. Imagine a child at home in a room full of people, and he loses sight of his father,
mm-hmm.
And he panics, and he it's subtle at first. You can see maybe a lip quiver or eyes wide open, and he looks, and he's looking around, and he's going around, he's looking everywhere for his father, and then he starts to cry, and then he starts to scream, and then he starts to shake, and no one's really able to help him.
Mm-hmm.
And all he wants to do is lay eyes on his father.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to know that his father is there. Let's get all philosophical. His father's hand on his shoulder. Just feel that.
Okay.
Right?
I think I get the point here.
And the answer is, your father was with you all the way along. Well, what kind of a sick father hides behind his kid the whole time when the kid's freaking out?
Well,
see me.
So you're the child?
Oh, in more ways than one.
Yeah, the other thing... Like, how about this? What if God entered our conversation now and we could hear his voice and he said, wouldn't the existence of a universe with all of its incredible design be proof that I'm real? Like, you know why I think God made the universe so big, infinite, etc., with so much detail?
Hmm.
It's because he wanted to make it really hard to go, oh, it just happened.
Right. Right.
So there,
he designed us with the innate desire for relationship.
Yeah.
And we read a book about relationship.
Yeah.
And we are involved in relationships. And yet, there seems to be such a chasm between us and God.
Well, but only for some, Drew, some Christians listening to you us
yeah.
would say...
I haven't experienced
doesn't
that.
Doesn't Drew feel close to God? I guess he doesn't. Too bad. They have no sense of what doubt is like or what the dark night of the soul is like.
Yeah.
J- just be thankful that you're not Mother Teresa. You know, she went 50 years with the Dark Night of the Soul, with maybe 5 weeks exception.
Yeah.
By the way, yeah. As we talked about another time off air, maybe God would also say, is sending my son not enough proof that I'm there for you?
Well, you have, before, as I see, Bruxy always wants me to get in. If you get in with the Jesus thing, it's all about Jesus, and that'll get you going with God. And I've said back to everyone who says this stuff, before I reinvest another 30 years in Jesus, I would just like to know that God, my Father, is there.
Well, what if Jesus is his proof? By the way, in a way, you're saying, Jesus isn't enough. Can you do more? That's kind of,
yeah,
that's
I guess
kind
in,
of weird.
Yeah, I guess in truth. A way, I understand that. I guess in a way I am, but I'm sort of saying I want that to be enough, and it has been enough for 30 years, but I'm at a point now where for some reason it's not. I know it sounds a little cheeky, but if Thomas got the ask for a nail hole experience, maybe I could as well.
Well, I think God is like that, as in he's open to people. I think God distinguishes between people who truly want help versus people
who want a dog and pony show,
or who are sassy and it doesn't matter what God does, they would just say, oh, can you do it again?
Yeah. And people keep checking in with me on that one, and what they're trying to say in their little comments to me. Are you sure you're not just being a little sassy, sucky pants?
Hey, now, Drew, one thing that we can do just to keep the show interesting is...
Stop talking?
I've got other stories that are as good as my son's stolen bike story. Do you know the license plate story involving Frederick Buechner?
Lay it on me. This is
Hold
your
it. I thought we're out of time.
Well, we are out of time, but I never like to be cruel to people.
Well,
you know what? No, we are out of time. I just looked up at my clock. I got 5 minutes to give people some droogle bits, and then we've got to go on to our next guest.
Okay, but maybe I can come back next week.
You can come, not as a droogle guest.
Why?
Because that's just, I got to spread the love, man.
Well, what about, there's no one that, hey, I got stories like the license plate story with Frederick Buechner, or do you like martial arts?
I was named after them.
Okay. I have a martial arts story involving God's power to a Muslim martial artist by a friend of mine. I can even get him to call you and tell you the story directly over the radio.
As long as he's not a kung fu.
He's got, I think he's either brown or black belt, but
okay.
He had an amazing encounter with God and power.
Well, folks, I want you to go to Jim's website. I want you to buy Jim's book, and I want you to invest a bit of your time with what Jim has invested his life into. He is a world religions expert, no question about it. Otherwise, he wouldn't be the author of Nelson's Illustrated Guide to Religions. The website is jimbeverly.com, two E's in Beverly. And Jim, as always, you have an open door policy in this show, except next week.
Oh, well, maybe another Saturday I could share.
Definitely, for sure. For sure. We just need to get your butt back in the studio.
Hey,
I know it's a long drive.
You know what I can do? The license plate story has tangible proof that we could put on your website.
Oh. Yeah, Photoshopped.
No. Okay. No, I don't know how to do Photoshop.
Jim, I always love talking with you, man.
And I love talking to you, Drew.
Thanks, buddy.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Jim Beverly on the Drew Marshall Show. Any comments on that one before we get into some droogle bits?
I want to know about this license plate.
You want to know about the license plate story?
Yeah,
well, it'll come up. It'll come up eventually. Eventually.
You got you on a few of those, but then again, some of them, like, you push back pretty good, too. That's why you're so frustrating.
I am very frustrating. Very frustrating. I'm going to read to you some droogle comments. That's what we're doing at this point in time. It's called our droogle bits segment. This is from Larry Thiessen in Edmonton. I've been listening to your show for several years now. At the age of 50, I find myself in a similar mindset to you regarding church and faith issues. I'm following your journey closely, and I'm actually finding it very helpful. I've grown up in the church, disgruntled Mennonite. That sounds like a quiche or something. And I've worked in Christian media all my adult life. Maybe that's a big chunk of the problem. Anyway, one of the things I have I've found very useful over the last 5-plus years has been the writings of Adrian Plass, British writer who has himself been and still is on a similar journey. Christy Taylor from Toronto. Thanks for the on-air journey of doubt and faith, Drew. I'm relating to your search. The variety of your guests and their ability to communicate frankly but with respect is unique but so needed in Christian circles. Keep up the good work. Joy 1250 should be commended for their commitment to keeping you on the air as you discuss doubt as much as you discuss faith. Thank you, Joy 1250. This is from Robert Ede, E-D-E. In Thornhill, Ontario. I listened on Saturday, heard of your struggle. I happened to hear the segment with Mrs. Rice, or Miss Rice, the author of The Vampire Chronicles,
yes,
who wishes to cast off her affiliation with the largely apostate muddle of organizations, people who profess Christianity but are religious but lost into the late Perry F. Rockwood's broadcast. That's called a run-on sentence, folks. Number one, to Miss Rice, the meaning of protest in Protestant is a forceful attestation, i.e. in favor of faith, not against Romish universal organization of power through syncretism.
Wow. Run, you know, on and complicated.
I think they should legalize marijuana in California is all
yes.
I'm saying. You and Miss Rice might enjoy a return to the primitive ecclesia by way of a study by scholarly Messianic Jew Arnold Fruchtenbaum. Fruchtenbaum. Careful with that one. Is a great teaching site. And then we attend a small Bible study here in Toronto led by brethren taught born-again Jew Gideon Levitam. He's on Joy 1250.
Is he?
Yes.
Okay.
Jack from Canada. Where's Canada? Is that Ontario or BC?
Near Ottawa.
Oh, okay. I read in Christian Week about you challenging God to show himself to you. Am I really wording it that way? I don't think I'm... am I challenging? I guess I am in a way.
There is.
I don't think I'm as arrogant as that sounds. Maybe I am. Anyway, I've never listened to your show, but I think your challenge is great, and I hope God shows up in the way he thinks is best. So do I. Your question is not a whole lot different from many in the past. Oswald Chambers walked out of a prayer meeting saying something like, "If this is all there is to Christianity, I want nothing more of it." I'm not unfamiliar with challenging him and getting the most surprising results. God loves you. I know by faith, but God showed Drew you love him by sight. I can hardly wait to see how he will answer your prayer. That's nice.
Yeah.
Cheryl Andrews, Ancaster, Ontario. My heart breaks for what you're going through, yet I know the solution. Get yourself in a truth project, small group, and be prepared to be awed and blown away. We are living in a foreign land with many people who do not know the truth. It is true that the truth shall set you free. It is important to turn from focusing on unanswered questions and turn to God by reminding yourself of what God has done through history and who he truly is. You are in my prayers, and I am sending you a large hug to remind you that you are loved deeply. Take care of yourself, and let me know if you're having a hard time finding the Truth Project in this area. I'm about to start one in January. This is from Marie in Toronto.
Do you know what the Truth Project is? Have you heard about that before?
No.
Okay.
I think it's a focus on the family thing, I think.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. This is from Marie in Toronto. Drew, I often ask myself if God is there for me. I'm beginning to understand that believing in God and his existence for me is all about faith, things unseen. And I look back to when I kept trying to control my life all on my own, as Dr. Phil would say, "How's that working for you?" Well, I still struggle in the control thing. However, I see such progress in the past few years, and I know it is God who's brought me here. I'd still like to manifest himself in some special way. Audible voice, perhaps? As long as he doesn't sound like Don Knotts. I do not know, but I'm content to let him work out that. I'll keep listening to hear the outcome in your show. There's a number of other ones here. We've been inundated.
Have you ever read Adrian Plass before?
Yeah.
Oh, I love him.
This is from Katie Newville in Jamul, California. Hi, Drew. I have no desire to convince you of the existence of God. Personally, I believe the heavens declare the glory of God. That being said, do you now embrace Darwinism? Instead of considering option A, there is a God, and option B, Christianity is the end-all, why not look at it intellectually rather than touchy-feely experience-y? I recommend doing the Truth Project. Oh!
More truth
is that a sign?
Mm.
And reading the free online book, Lies My Pastor Told Me. I like the name of the book. Start researching and watching movies like Expelled and its counterparts. It's clear to me that man is going to convince you there is a God. Good. If your faith is solely based on the most confident and well-spoken religious leaders in the room, then you don't have any foundation for faith at all. It's a revolving door. This is where you're facing the difference between doing religion and deciding if what you believe is really real. Thank you for your time and consideration. And maybe the last one here. This is from Brenda Free in Lawrence, Kansas, USA. We feel for you going through your questioning of Christianity and probably religion in general. My husband and I were able to peel off our Christian conditioning and learn to think rationally, but it can be difficult, though freeing process. It can be a difficult but freeing process. We were the atheists on the 30 Days reality documentary TV show. We'd be happy to talk to you. I'm getting hit on by atheists.
Nice.
Is that...
At least you're getting some action.
All right, let's finish with... I know we're a little bit late, aren't we here?
Yes, we are.
Okay. I'm going to finish with this one.
Okay.
I lied. This is my second last one.
Okay.
This is from Cindy Carmen. I had to say... I had to read this one. She's from a little town in Indiana called Floyd's Knobs. I'm saying that's the name of the town. Thank you for being an authentic voice out there regarding the Christian faith. I appreciate the dialogue regarding diverse topics and that many Christians question but never talk about. Okay, this is the last one.
Okay. Is it because of the town name again?
No.
Okay.
This is from Jackie in Ottawa.
Ottawa. That's good.
Are you okay? Wow. Are you a drama teacher?
Shut up.
Jackie says, I don't listen to the radio, so I've never heard of you until recently stumbling upon your interview by Googling Ole Anthony and TV evangelist on Google Video. Anyway, this latter caused me to visit your website and listen to some of your other interviews. I was disappointed to see that you often have rock stars like Alice Cooper and Hollywood celebrity types on there because the Bible clearly tells us to separate from the secular world once we get saved. I listened to your interview with Alice Cooper and was disappointed that although he claims to be a Christian, continues to play with the devil's music, and even if the theatrics are an act, the music, beat, and rhythm are not. Rock music is based on rebellion, and rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, according to 1 Samuel. And neither do his young and impressionable preteen fans know that either. It was also alarming to hear him say that he's good buddies with the members of KISS. What? I'm adding that little sound effect there. That was
I'm just kidding. How would you write that?
TSK, TSK, TSK.
Oh, okay. All right.
You should have screamed. Where is your discernment, brother Alice? Kind of a weird sentence,
yeah.
Brother Alice. They're not exactly living Christ-like lives, and who you choose to hang out with reflects the type of person you are. He also forgot to mention that he got the name Alice from a Ouija board, something your Bible expressly forbids. You should have nailed him on these various things, but instead oohed and awed about what a great guy he was. Likewise, with Kathy Lee Gifford, again, you should have said, if you're supposed to be saved, why are you rubbing shoulders with Hollywood's elite when the Bible says to separate from such people, lest we learn their ways and be corrupted by it? Instead, both of you appear to be flirting back and forth. Okay, you caught me.
Mm-hmm. And you made her cry.
If this is supposed to be a Christian program, you could have fooled me. If it's touted as being a spiritual program, that could mean anything from a full-blown Satanist to a devout Bible-praying, fasting, and tithing Christian, so you need to be a little more specific. Your interview with Ole Anthony was good. I'll give you that. But the celebrities and rock stars have got to go, and you need to brush up on your knowledge of Scripture if you're going to call yourself a Christian. I wrote back to that one.
And?
I said, Dear Jackie, you're the reason I'm not a Christian. In the name of Jesus, go away.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Was that a little harsh?
No. Tisk, tisk, tisk.
Folks, that has been Droogle Bits here on the Drew Marshall Show. If you want to follow the Droogle discussion and the comments from Tal Backman, or recording artist Tal Backman, ex-Mormon, author of The End of Religion,
Brexit on your side. Yes.
And then the author of The Shack,
Paul
Young, you can follow us on Twitter. The hashtag Droogle is the column you want to follow. You just put in the hashtag or the number sign Droogle and you can find us in there. Or just go to the Droogle page on our website, drewmarshall.ca. Droogle guests each and every week. If you want to listen to all of them, they're on our Droogle page as well. And if I can say Droogle again, I will. What are we doing next?
Don Bennett.
Oh, yeah, Don is in the house, folks.
In a hizzle with the Don Abizzle.
Look, I'm serious. I've heard so many stories of people whose families are just disintegrating, and there's divorce issues and separation issues and custody issues, and it's horrible, horrible stuff. If you want some answers on how to clear up that stuff or go through that mess with some sense of direction or focus or, I don't know, just do it the best way possible, this is who you want to talk to. Still, there are a few people upset that I have a divorce lawyer who is partnering with our show. Well, I'm not, because this is who you want in your corner. Don Bennett coming up next. And then Kalita will join us later in the show, folks. Juno-nominated recording artist. We'll be right back.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.